This morning, Gospel reading is from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And then we will skip down to verses 19 to 28. It says in the bulletin, but we will go a little further to 34. So 19 to 34. John, the first chapter. Starting verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Verse 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they asked to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As the prophet Isaiah said. Now they have been sent from the priests, Pharisees. They ask him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Here ends the reading of God's Holy Word. Thanks to God. For now, picture John in Bethany across the Jordan River, and he's being questioned by the leader of the religious establishment. And they ask three questions, and they are the same ones. Who are you? John answers truthfully but differently each time. Try to be clear about his identity, John answers in three ways. One, he clarifies who he is not. He says, "I am not the Christ, I am not Elijah, I am not the prophet." Two, he references the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, that discloses something of his vocation. And he's quoting from Isaiah, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness." And three, he tells what he does. "I baptize with water," but he owns his limitation by saying, "The one who is coming is more powerful than I, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In order to witness to Jesus Christ, John has to know who he is not, who he is, and what he does. So that's what this exercise was all about. The same three methods should help us claim our identity within our vocation to bear witness to Jesus. John's testimony is crucial to how he is able to bear witness. However, in the end, the scripture isn't so much about John and his identity more than it is about his testimony that he gives. And here are 7 points that John makes testifying about Jesus. Jesus is the true light. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus takes away the sin of the world. And God's Spirit is upon Jesus and remains with Jesus. Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Son of God. We know this, right? We better know this. But just think about it. The first time hearers back then would not have known this. Through the testimony of John, the people have been illuminated about Jesus, who Jesus is, through the testimony of John. By the way, this is what testimony is. Testimony is a true first-person account of an experience. At its core, it is the practice of making a public statement what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced for yourself. Testimony is a practice in which anyone in the assembly can participate and must practice, for it is your personal story, it is your personal experience and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's precisely what John is doing here. He's telling his personal stories, his personal experience, his personal relationship that he has with Jesus. John the Baptist is witnessing to God's presence in Jesus, being a witness to testify to the light of the world. He will point out, saying, "Behold," he will not miss an opportunity to announce, "Look, look, look to Jesus." There was a man named Wilfish, and that's a real name, who witnessed to the light, like John the Baptist, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. Back in 1994, he was one of the two Americans invited by the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics in their prisons, their businesses, fire and police departments, and even at a large orphanage. They were also told that they could teach from the perspective of their faith. So they did, as they believed that Jesus, the true light that enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The experience of these two in Russian orphanage proved to be particularly illuminating. There were about 100 boys and girls in the orphanage, children who had been abandoned, abused, and left in the care of a government-run facility and program. Will tells the following story of what happened when it was time for the orphan to hear for the first time the story of Christmas. It's rather lengthy, but I'm going to quote and read what he wrote. We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem, finding no room in the inn. The couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edges of their stools, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins that I brought with me. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel cut from one out nightgown an American lady was throwing away as she left Russia were used for the baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was cut from tent felt we had brought from the United States. The orphans were busy assembling their mangers as I walked among them to see if they needed any help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was started to see not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the lad why there were two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at his completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very carefully and seriously. For such a young boy who had heard the Christmas story only once, he related the happenings accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to add lib. He made up his own ending to the story as he said, "And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him I had no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like anybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him forever. For us, the danger of the Christmas story is that it doesn't come anew because we have heard the story so many times over and over. For one thing, we need to hear the story again for the first time. For the first time with the fresh ears. So really listen to Christmas story and what it means that God sent His begotten Son. Jesus, the true light, came to the world for us. So Jesus must be exalted by the ones who truly know who He is by us. Jesus, the Lamb of God, came so that Jesus can take away the sin of the world. That is our sin. God's Spirit was upon Jesus and remained with Jesus. And Jesus will baptize people, us, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, left all the glory of heaven, took the form of a slave to be with His people, to be with us, Emmanuel. Second, we need to tell the Christmas story. If and when we believe and experience Christmas, we need to witness. Witness, mind you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is our Advent calling. Advent is not being busy and slash or observing with a nice liturgy. Advent can never be passive, never be just waiting, never be just anticipating or expecting. No, Advent's call, Advent's vocation, Advent's embodiment is witness. And this is what Charles Spurgeon said. Dear friends, if you and I know our real destiny and are the servants of God, we are sent that man might, through us, believe in Jesus. John was a special witness, but we all ought to be witnesses to complete the chains of testimony. Every Christian man should reckon that he is sent from God to bear witness to the great light, that through him man might believe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing our identity is critical to how we are able to witness to Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, in the end, it isn't about so much about us and our identity as it is about testimony to Jesus. To give witness is to break the silence. It is to let go of what the response might be and just do it because we have to. It is to acknowledge that we cannot not testify to how we have experienced God in our life, how God came in our lives, how God loved us, how God cared for us, how God redeemed us, how God was present among us and with us. When we see God at work, when we know God is by our side, when we know that God has forgiven us, when we know that God has given His Son to be with us, we have no choice but to talk and to share and to witness. Witness should be our witness. Witness should become our witness. Witness should be our lives until that becomes us. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious day and the story that we hear, the scripture that you give. The John said, powerful voice crying out in the wilderness against the voices that says, who are you? Who are you that you are doing this? And he said, I am not. I am. And this is what I do. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about how I experience with Jesus.
Jesus Christ.